right, now here we go.
On the line, but I want to go ahead and get through another very small segment here. It's also concerning something I wanted to discuss when it comes to the coronavirus. So let's go ahead and play that, please.
In fact, we actually found out that there were students from a seminary that were volunteered to dig graves during this crisis because they could do it. And so everybody was kind of pressed into service. You did what you could. We have to remember, this was during World War I. Right. So you have a significant depletion of the young male population anyway that's off to war. So you're talking about an under-resourced industry anyway. So people were piling up.
I often say that I think that World War I in combination with the flu epidemic doesn't get enough credit as for what really changed death care in the United States. Because you have the Civil War, which most people talk about as this is when embalming mm-hmm. rose, yeah. and this is where you had to transport the bodies from the South back up to the North. And then into the 20th century, you have these embalmers really trying to make embalming a thing. I especially love what it says here. The caption is, embalming victims at the city morgue, which you don't usually see yeah. it put like that.
Yeah.
But the embalmers are trying to do this and make it a real career, and funeral directors are doing the same. But I think just the pure sheer amount of death that happened in World War I and with the influenza really tired out the population to the idea of treating each death themselves and caring for each body themselves oh. and having that kind of relationship with it. You really see a lot of people saying, you know what, at this point, I am ready to turn the person over to a funeral director because there's just so much death everywhere
death
we
weary.
Look that they get weary. Sort of like social media now. You know, there's so much going on that's so dark that you just get weary and you run out of steam.
Right. I like
and
how
your empathy.
You have social media and death. Kind of on the
I mean, is that untrue?
Yeah, no, it's very good. I think it's very appropriate. Now, here's a weighted question. And I hate to be fear-mongering anything, but this isn't like a if this happens again, it's a when this happens again.
Right.
So in your professional opinion, are we as a nation, as whatever, ready for another situation like this when there's a huge amount of fatalities due to an infection, a contagion?
Also not to be fear-mongering, but in Los Angeles, for instance, where I work, the coroner's office, the morgue, is already filled to the brim. People might think that, okay, if there's a mass fatality, there's a big, huge refrigeration unit at the coroner's and the official government capacity that can hold 300 people. No.
No.
Those are already filled with indigent dead, people who haven't been autopsied yet. We work with a crematory that's on the larger side, and there's room for perhaps 100 bodies. Perhaps, you know, you could really make it work, especially if you really stacked people up, which you wouldn't normally do, which wouldn't be legal or ethical normally,
right.
But in a situation of mass death might be
right.
your only choice. I don't believe that we have a really smart system in place for, okay, deputizing large storage
sure.
freezers for food or for other thing and saying,
right.
we're coming in and we're using this.
On an average day in Philadelphia at this time period, you were looking between about 50 to 70 people a day would be dying. So then you had October 12th, to kind of put that in perspective, 861 people died that day alone. And there would be another
yeah.
couple hundred the next day, and another couple hundred the next day. So if you were in a situation, 861 people dropped dead in one day in LA, what's going to happen?
Well, I think we could do 861 people, but I sort of do wonder about things like social media.
Yeah.
About, do we know why it's happening? Is it clear why it's happening? Do we have a plan in place? We just recently got an email, the coroner's office looking for volunteer funeral homes for Ebola. And I told my friend who works in healthcare in Washington, D.C., I was like, hey, what do you think about this? And she said, oh, they should not have sent that. But at the same time, how do you prepare funeral homes? We don't want to get people into a frenzy over something that hasn't happened yet. But then again, you also have to be prepared for the worst case scenario.
Yeah. So, that was a discussion about the Spanish flu, okay, back in 1918, Philadelphia, where it hit the hardest. Now, I've studied this, okay? Mass graves, large amounts of coffins, large amounts of death seen everywhere. Just from the Spanish flu, okay? That was, unfortunately, from the evidence that I gathered, I can conclude, this was unfortunately done because of the government, okay? Germ theory had just been fresh, just come out. Experimentation was done at that parade where there were 200,000 people on the streets. Next day, well, next 3 days later, everybody's in the hospital. Okay? Germ theory had just been fresh on everybody's mind in the scientific community, well, at least within the government. And then there is a world war at the same time. Seems like they came up with another formula, huh? Seems like it. Ooh, if we want to kill mass amounts of our own people, well, this is how you do it. And so I want to also point out, yes. Anybody see any mass graves around? Anybody hear of a surplus of bodies coming into the morgues? You heard this lady say that didn't happen. She's a coroner. No, there aren't protocols in place for mass storage of dead bodies. You haven't seen any white guy, guys in white suits, white hazmat suits, burning dead bodies on the side of the road, have you? Listen, I have, by proxy, I know a few people who have died. Well, several over the past couple years. Well, year and a half, right? Died of cancer. Died of car wrecks. But COVID-19 is on their birth certificates. I'm sorry, death certificates. I'm so backwards today. on their death certificates. COVID-19. So, nobody's noticing anybody disappearing. As I stated before, the original COVID-19 outbreak was handled. It's no longer there. It's not here. It can't be isolated. Scientists can't do it today. It can't be done. So everybody is just getting the flu. Normal flu. And that, I mean, check the numbers. Is any of this seem real to anybody? Here we are on the verge of another world war. That distraction is here. They love using the four horsemen. War, disease, famine, etc., etc. And they cycle it over and over to distract us all from what's really going on. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, they don't really want to put anything dangerous out there because it's hard to control a pathogen. It's nearly impossible to do so. Know how it's going to evolve. I don't care how much Bill Gates designed it and the vaccine. All it takes is contact with one special individual and can completely radicalize a virus. Yeah. You want to talk about artificial intelligence? Yeah. You don't want that nano chemtrail particulate technology coming together with a virus. You don't want that. Becoming aware? AI is becoming aware. Yeah, that's the first time when I thought about the whole scenario that I actually thought it's plausible. These people are screwing us around. Playing God, messing with forces that they cannot possibly handle. Monkey at the wheel, going 100 miles an hour. You wearing your seatbelts? You gave them the license to do what they're doing. You, the people, gave them the license. You're looking over at them, terrified, but you don't want to say anything. You ready to die? You just ready to just give up like that? Oh, maybe he'll evolve and learn how to drive before we drive off a bridge. Is that what you're banking on? Not me. I'm not banking on that at all. It's amazing. Before we get to the caller, do you have anything you want to say? Add to that, Will? Anything?
No, I usually rant and rave, and I think that you pretty succinctly said what I would want to say. So, yeah, let's get to the calls.
All right. Well, I do know we got Andy calling back in. Andy, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing fine, V. I really appreciate you taking my call. Man, I always appreciate your show. You guys go places other people won't go. and it's just nice to have that platform to come on to. But I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. We're sitting here at the precipice of the end of society, the way we know it. We're not at the precipice. We're already past that. We're already into this new society. They're changing everything, the way we live, the way we move, the way we operate, everything. They're changing it all. And who the hell are they to do this? Well, we let them do what they do. We're sitting on the sidelines. And the people that need to be armed have been disarmed. And they've done this for years and years and years because these people have been taking arms away from people left and right. And so we've got a bunch of armed people who have no, like, let's call them gonads, to pull their gonads out and show them and let these people know that we're not going to put up with this. Look, this is straight up 1776 right now. That guy, O'Biden, he is King George. All right? It's the same thing that happened in 1776. This guy's coming for everything that we want, and that's the same thing King George did, but he did it from across the sea. We're in trouble here, and people don't realize that. And the reason why they don't realize that is because it's moving really slow. Everything's happening incrementally. People are just sitting there and letting it happen. Just going along with what's happening right now and pretending like it's not happening. And a lot of people took their masks off here in Texas. They took their masks off and stuff, but they're still going along to get along. If some company says, put your mask on, and put it back on. So we're still in a lot of problem here. Now, I got a good buddy who just told me tonight. And I play pool with him. He's across the street from me. And he told me he got the Moderna shot. And I looked at him. I said, well, shit, I'm sorry. What you sorry for, man? I get to get back to business. I get to do what I need to do now. I was like, come on, man. I done told you several times, so Tuesday, this ain't the way to go. We was free. He said, it was free. Oh, good. So you got a shot that you can't get out your body now, and it's free, so you accepted it. And he's a brother. I mean, he's a black man. I he's an awesome. You can put your car back together. Let's put it that way, mechanic. And, you know, I hang over there and, we blow some smoke together and watch TV, watch sports together and stuff. And it just troubles me to death that this guy, he ain't but like 64 years old. He's like 10 years older than me. But he just told me he got that first Moderna shot. And I'm like, holy crap. And what really worries me about these shots and stuff is we don't know how these people are going to shed this. Are they going to shed this virus? I mean, what these people got shot into them, they can't get out. So now we know they got it. But I have to be around these people. And guess what? I don't have this. We do need a COVID-19 pass. I need to know who got the COVID pass, who got the shot, so I can stay away from them. I have no idea what they're finna shed to me. I have no idea who I'm going to catch something from. But I'm around a ton of people, mostly elderly, that are taking the shot. And I'm worried about catching something from them because I don't know. I mean, it's supposedly an mRNA shot that is a therapy for your veins or whatever. But I don't know what the therapy is, and I don't know if that therapy, when you sweat, dude, if I brush against you, am I going to catch something? You know, I'm not that worried about it because I think my immune system can handle the stuff. But the point is that we don't know. I mean, they're just giving vaccines. And how do we know when they're giving this vaccine? People are different weights. People are different sizes. People are different shapes. People have different DNA. And they're giving the same dosage shot to everyone. So I don't get it. That's like busting somebody for a DUI who's 400 pounds. He ain't had but four beers, but you bust him for a DUI. But you bust a dude that's 110 pounds after four beers. Yeah, sure, he's probably drunk. It doesn't fit. One shot doesn't fit all. What says you, Debbie?
I absolutely agree with that assessment. One shot
cannot
fit all.
It's off the hook. I don't get it. I totally don't get it. I mean, I've been on the show before, and I say, give me six guys. I'll be the seventh with some scopes. We can go take care of some of this stuff. And we know who the players are. That's the thing is, everybody, they're trying to get us to fight amongst ourselves. But we know who the players are. We know who's doing this. The Faucis, the Gates and stuff. But that's not the high. That's not the neck. That's not the head. We know who the higher-ups are. What we need to do is go on and start showing them that we can take the second head off. Get rid of the Gate. Get rid of the Fauci. Get rid of the Newsom. Get rid of that Whitmer up there in Michigan. Get rid of Inslee in Washington. Get rid of this Abbott guy. If we can do some of this stuff, we need to do this. And I'm not just saying this in satire here. I'm really saying we need to do this. There's some people that need to go.
Sure. Let me ask you something. You are a veteran of the Korean War. How do you feel about the situation that's going on right now in the East?
As far as Taiwan and whatnot?
China.
Or China's coming through our southern border right now. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's not just Mexicans and South Americans and stuff. Chinese people are coming through the border. What I really think is going on right now is we're being invaded. I think we're being invaded. I think these people know where the arms are. Biden had this all set up. I think Trump had it set up too. Trump was just a lollygag, I guess, while he let all this stuff happen. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody's ever been on our side. People have been on their own from the get-go. All these presidents are just satire. They're cartoons. And Trump was, too. And if you look real close at him, and if you study him close enough, you realize it, even though he looked like he was for the people, never did anything for us. All right? And he let this election go. He flushed it down the toilet. Right.
Yep. And even on the last day of his presidency, he could have had, as you so eloquently put him, the gonads to actually pardon real people like Edward Snowden, like Julian Assange. But no, he instead pardoned Little Wayne and Kodak Black.
Yeah, and who's father-in-law? His son-in-law's dad got pardoned? What did he do?
Yeah, you're right, yeah. So they're all on for themselves. And I'll tell you what, Trump did a pretty good... I think Trump was actually... The whole Trump presidency was kind of like
satire.
It was like a 2.0, I think, in the brainwashing, because I think people on the left and right were waking up of Democrats and Republicans. Like, people were tired of the fake neocon Republicans who were nation building, and then they were like, okay, and that really got people salivating for Obama, because like, okay, we got a black guy, he's saying let's stop the NSA spying, he's saying let's stop the wars. That's very well packaged by these people. And then, but people very quickly saw through Obama and saw him for what he really was. And so I think that forced the system, the Edward Bernayses, the new societal engineers, to update their programming. And they did it very good, because I think half of the population saw Trump as, imperfect, but riding on a white horse to draw on the D's tape. And the other one looked at him as literal Hitler. And that's perfect brainwashing propaganda, because you got the left and the right to bang each other in the head. Meanwhile, before that, we were coalescing against the presidents nonviolently for a long time. And then Trump comes in. It's like an updated brainwashing where it completely divides us and it gives us two parallel realities running at the same time.
Well, the beauty of Donald Trump was that if there's anything positive out of Donald Trump, was the fact that he alluded to the fake news. He got people understanding the CNN and MSNBC and all these other places. But I think that was just a ploy, because we already knew. I mean, for the most part, the average Joe realized that most of what they were looking at, well, I guess not, maybe not. I don't know. We're in a flipping predicament right now because people don't realize it. But the simple fact is that most of us that listen to news like we're listening to right now, talking about right now, we knew that the news was false from the get-go, but he pointed it out. So he opened some doors for us, and that's why it got everybody into that Q thing and stuff, because we started talking about child trafficking and all this other stuff. And then Q took off with it, whoever Q is.
The problem
and we
that
never
is
found
now
out who
is,
he is.
Well, it's funny because I have another, because so the QAnon stuff, first Trump was going to win the election because he had the watermark blockchain vote. And then it was March 4th. And then it was March 20th.
Yeah. And now we're talking about April now.
Yeah. And I really thought, okay, well, March 20th is going to be the last one. But now they're talking about, oh, no, they're still going to do it. And and it was good. When QAnon was first coming out, I was like, okay, this is cool because, you know what, I might not agree with, you know, everything they're saying. At least they're exposing this information about the Clintons and Pedogate, Pizzagate. This is good information. But then now it's just like, now if you try to talk about child trafficking or pedophilia, when there's, constant, we're just inundated every day with real factual occurrences of this happening. Now, if they do that, they equate you to, oh, what do you think? Anderson Cooper drinks the blood and Hillary Clinton is in the pit spot. Crazy. So it's maybe another even way, like you were saying, to potentially dismiss us. We'll put it out in the open. We'll talk about some of it. And now, QAnon's so stupid that if you believe anything that QAnon does, then you're just another Q-tard.
Well, and we're still stuck on Q-tard. We're still Q-tards right now because a lot of people are believing it. There's a guy on this station on Sunday nights now. It used to be on Sunday mornings. But he's still talking as though as if Joe Biden is actually James Wood in dress-up, and Joe Biden doesn't live in the White House, and the press secretary who keeps saying, let's circle back, I'll circle back, that girl, that's some dude dressed up as a guy. And this is Johnny Delirious. I'm not going to make no bones about it, but I heard him on Revolution Radio the other day. I was like, oh, my God. Because he went on about the same time we would have been on Sunday, but his day was moved to the nighttime shift. And he went on this Revolution Radio saying the same thing. And then I actually heard people coming on saying, everybody's calling me a freak, and I say the same thing, Johnny. And I'm thinking, holy cow, you're telling me James Woods is Joe Biden right now? He's not living in the White House. He's in some sort of studio in California that looks like the White House. And this woman who says, circle back, that's some guy dressed up as a girl. And all these people have ankle bracelets on, all these billionaires got these ankle bracelets on
inside. Yeah,
and I'm
studio.
Thinking, yeah. it's crazy.
Just go to wait a
few. It's absolutely crazy.
And JFK Jr., they're going to jump out of the tank. They're going to drone strike.
Exactly. JFK Jr. is still alive.
And don't worry. Just trust the plan a little bit longer. Don't do anything for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's what we're doing right now. We're trusting the plan, right? No, that's what I'm saying. Give me six other guys that know how to shoot through a scope, and we'll take care of that plan they're talking about that keeps us sitting here doing nothing. We'll take care of that plan. We'll even get JFK Jr. if he's still alive. Who gives a shit? I mean, seriously, let's go get these people. This is past a joke. This is past a joke. Is it not past a joke? I mean, come on, man. We sit here and we can talk about it as long as we want to.
Things have gotten old and overbearing. That is for sure.
Aren't you done with it, though? I'm done with it. Hey, all I need to do is have some food in my belly and a scope rifle and five dudes that got my back with a scope rifle. We'll go around town, not just town, let's put it to country, and a little bit of money in our pockets to make sure we can live fine while we're doing it, and we'll get in and out. Now, I need some. They don't need to be special forces. They just need to understand how you move in and move out. That's all I really care about. You move in, you move out. I'll get you some plots. We'll look at this place. We'll see where the high spot is. We'll see where... I mean, you can set this up. I'm serious. Because I'm done with this. I got nothing else to live for. All right, well, V, I already told you how I live.
Yeah, how do we prevent the people, though, that once you take care of them all, how do we prevent the people that are waiting on the sidelines to take their position?
Well, you're absolutely right. That is, yeah.
How do we stop them from calling you a crazy QAnon lunatic and a terrorist, you know?
Well, here's what you do, though. You start popping some of these people off, and then questions arise, and then we'll let Twitter and Instagram and all those other people figure out what's going on. But in the meantime, there will be people popping back up. But how quick will they be? If we get away with it, if we can knock these people off and we get away with it, ain't nobody going to step up too quick to take their spot. So, I mean, there's that too. You know?
Was that okay?
We got to do something.
Sir, we'll be quick.
I'm sorry. These headphones today. Okay.
You broke up on me, V. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I thought we were going to commercial break, but I guess we're not. But yeah, you know, they need to have a little fear. They need to fear the people. And not just...
Yeah, when the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. And that's what we're in right now. We fear the government. Why should we fear the government? We pay for everything they do. We own them. You don't want to do what we want to do? Get the hell out. And that's why we need them guns. That's why the Second Amendment is so important.
We got to
get rid of these people. And guess what? United States is the last bastion. They got the most guns ever. And if we just stay here on our face, we're going to do like what they call the genocide with the Jews. We're going to do it all over again.
My question would have to be, see, you know, I like your stance. I believe it's 100% necessary. My co-host here is a pacifist, I do believe, if that's the terminology you want to use. I don't know if you want to use anything else, but how do we get two opposite ends of the spectrum here together in one movement?
Well, hey, you know what? When this Revolutionary War took place, 3% of the people took office. They decided they're going to do what they're going to do. Okay, so they went out and did what they did. And there's this famous saying, you know, 3% of us went out and did what we had to do. And when they saw the cause was necessary, they joined in. So we ended up with 33% of the people who actually did it. And people will see the cause is just. Because watch, you start bumping some of these big people off, and they're gonna make some adjustments, of course, right? So things are going to change. And then they're going to be draconian. And then more and more people, just like people like this with the election, it woke people up. But they see draconian laws coming against people. Now they're going to have, the government's going to have insurrection against American people. And they're going to come after American people in the manner in which American people are saying, wait a minute, I was a Democrat. I voted for this idiot, this guy called Biden and stuff. Now you're doing this to me? So, I mean, we can wake them up simply by waking them up, doing something stupid. Which would be, it's not really stupid, it's the American thing to do, because these people are, they're committing insurrection against the people. The government's committing insurrection. If there was insurrection on December 6th, January 6th, the insurrection was against the American people by declaring an insurrection against people that didn't do anything, simply didn't do anything but show up, and then you had your instigators who did what they did. So, I mean... These people are doing anything they can to keep our asses out of being in what's going on in this country. And so we need to do whatever we can to keep their asses from having anything to do with our country. And frankly, it's our country. It's not theirs. Nobody owns this country. I don't own it. You don't own it. But the American people own it now. Unfortunately, the American Indian got his ass sliced, but he's still got a slice in this. Everybody's an American. Whoever lives here now, however we got to this point, we're all Americans. And if you want to live free and die free, We got to do something. It's the same thing as the revolution. It has to happen.
Well, I would have to pose once again to my co-host.
I definitely, me and V had a talk the other night because there is a line. There is a line, right, where it's because these people, and I don't know where that line is. Maybe it's different for every person, but these people are preemptively violent towards us. They have done the opposite of they've done the opposite of what they took an oath to do. They've destroyed everything that's sacred, and then they've literally done the opposite of everything that this. I mean, I could sit here for 2 hours on one show and go through the Bill of Rights and show how not only do we not have them anymore, but it's literally the exact opposite. And then there's the human trafficking going around, the endless wars. So I get it. But at the same time, I still think that I don't know what that line is. And there is a line. I'm not a complete pacifist. I'm not going to turn the other cheek. I believe in self-defense. But I also, you know, thinking about this more, I don't know where that line is. Now, if someone comes to give me a microchip or give me a vaccine that I want, then I'm going to be forcible with you. I'm going to be forcible exactly. Right back. But as far as preemptive, I definitely can see the arguments and even agree with the arguments about justification. I wonder if we're, I just think it's a little preemptive now. I think we still need to focus on waking people up, more and more people waking up. I think that people are so much more brainwashed now than they were in 1776 that, you know, I could see so easily that you do something, you take out the top eight guys, they call you a racist, they condemn you, they clamp down further on things, they destroy other things. And I could see that even backfiring and being worse. Look, it could also be a positive thing, too. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there comes a certain point where you have to stand up to bullies. I don't believe we're at that point yet, but I still think we need to wake some more people up. And I think just having that amount of people to strengthen numbers might even stop the necessity for violence. But I would agree with you guys that, I mean, if you looked at a historical marker, I mean, we're well past all of them as far as tyranny goes. Mm-hmm. So people would be quite right to say they have the right to start defending themselves at this point. I personally am not going to call for that. I personally don't think we're there yet. I personally think that we have to wake other people up. But I'm not going to go around stopping people if that's something they want to do. I would love to have the argument first, but I still think we need to waking minds. But that's my opinion.
I got a suggestion. I think the American people should, instead of, let's not go after Bill Gates and Fauci right now. Let's go after the damn cable networks. Let's go after the TV stations. Let's shut them down. Pull their shit out. Pull the plug out. Because I've been telling people from the get-go, COVID-19 is alive and well when your TV's on and you're watching that TV. They're always breaking in telling you how bad it is. Well, if you don't have no TV and you ain't got no reception, you ain't got no COVID-19. Turn the thing off, COVID-19 goes away. I've always told these people that. So that's one thing we need to do. The infrastructure needs to go down first. The shit, the expletive that is pushing this BS, it needs to go down first because that's number one. Okay, if you keep getting the propaganda, you're going to keep believing propaganda. And all these old folks and all these other people and stuff, they're talking about how sweet it is. There's rap songs about taking the vaccine, just get the vaccine, all this stuff. They're promoting this like it's like the glory days and stuff. And everybody's running out and getting it. And a guy today, my friend, I played pool with him across the street. He got that dang vaccine today, and I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry. And that's all I could say, and I let it go at that because I knew he was going to argue with me. I was like, I'm sorry. And he's a brother, too. He's a black dude. He's a black dude. You know, I'm white as a motherfucker, but he's a black dude, and he's about 10 years older than me. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And his dad got it too.
We got to stop with the swears. This is a syndicated radio broadcast. And Mike,
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, it's just frustration. My bad. It's just you go through life and you, many of us that talk on the radio and yourself and V and whatnot, we all have done our studies and we understand what's going on in the world. And there's so many people that don't. And that's what we're seeing right now with this COVID-19 vaccine right now. Or this, it's not a vaccine, some sort of therapy, some sort of mRNA, whatever it is. But we know what they're trying to pull on us. And you know what? Christians should be aware of this too, because if people really read the Bible and they knew the revelations and whatnot, they'd understand that this, even if it's not the book of Revelations playing out right now, it should still scare them, because it seemed like the mark of the beast. It seemed like they're trying to put something in you that you ain't supposed to have. And once you get this vaccine, you can't get it out. And so that's the thing I told my friend tonight. I was like, hey, man, you got that vaccine? Yeah, I did. I got to get the second one in 2 weeks. And I was like, man, you can't get that out. I don't care. It was free. I mean, that's just a dismissal. It was free? Come on, man. You took a vaccine because they gave it to you for free? I mean, that troubles me. And so now I got to stay away from this guy. And I like to go over there almost every night to play pool. I got to stay away from him because I don't know if he's going to shed this stuff. I don't know if he's going to shed anything from that vaccine. I don't even know what they shot in him. He doesn't either, but he took it. But I don't know what's coming out of him. I mean, maybe I rub up against him. We working on a car. He's a body guy. I'm helping him work on a car, and we rub against each other. His sweat mixes with mine. I don't know what I'm going to get. Or maybe just coughs in my face one time. I don't want him to get it. Or maybe I won't get anything. I don't know. The point is that we don't know what they're shooting into these people, but people are taking the shot. And you and me and everybody else have to live with these people. They got the shot. And here's something else. They're not wearing the scarlet letter after they get the shot. So you don't know who you're around that got the shot. And remember Bill Gates. Bill Gates said, I call this pandemic number one. Most people didn't take too much notice to it, but I'll bet they'll take notice of pandemic number two. And pandemic number two, I believe, is the vaccine. I believe that's what they're going to turn us into zombies. There's a reason why we got The Walking Dead. The reason why we got Zombieland. There's a reason why we got Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead. There's a reason why they're showing that stuff to us, because they're going to turn us into zombies. And I think this mRNA vaccine, I don't know about AstraZeneca. I think that's just going to kill you upright. It dissolves your liver and gets your blood clot.
And I want to say, I do believe there's a large amount of indoctrination there, whether there's going to be literal zombies or not. I know there's going to be people who are diseased and be looked at as less than human, someone who must be disposed of. And they have to dehumanize us as much as humanly possible and get us ready for that point.
Well, maybe they want to dehumanize us to a point where we won't rebel against them. Maybe the zombies are who they want, and the people who don't take the virus or take the vaccine or whatever that is, that jab, maybe they're the ones. We're the ones that don't want. They don't want. Maybe they want the zombies. Maybe they already have a way to control them once they become zombies. I'm just saying. I have no idea what's going on here, but I have. I mean, with everything, all the evidence that we have with all the movies and stuff, even Hunger Games and stuff like that. I mean, they've been stereotyping. Even in the Simpsons, they've been stereotyping. We need a vaccine. What was that Simpsons thing? Oh, we need a worldwide pandemic. Well, we'll call it a cat virus. That's what we're calling it. NBC, shut up. No. Okay, you're the first one to take it. Boom, NBC's gone. You know what I'm saying? But they had some sort of virus. And then magically, 2 years later, we got this pandemic going on, a worldwide pandemic. Doesn't have nothing to do with cats, apparently, but maybe it does. We don't know. Not a scientist. I have no idea. Maybe it ain't bats from the Wuhan. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just a common cold that they wanted to throw at us and make us feel stupid. I mean, come on, man. Ain't nobody dying from this. Everybody that's dying from this has got something else going on, like a car accident or decapitated on a motorcycle accident. But you had COVID-19, so you died of COVID-19. I mean, it's so ridiculous, and people are taking the vaccine based on this ridiculousness. Nobody's taking time out to even realize or even research or even think about it for a minute before they do it. And that's why I bust my butt right now, is that my buddy across the street done took that vaccine. He was 64 years old. And I feel bad for him. Not going to do it. I recommend nobody does it.
Well, it's 64 years old, so I assume Van has already had his children.
Yeah, he's got four.
Grandkids, possibly.
Yes, he's got six. And he's got a dad who did the same thing at 81. His dad's still mobile. He's mobile as crazy. And he got the shot, too. He got the second shot, too. It's been like 4 weeks since he got the second shot. He seemed to be fine, but he did say that after the first shot, he got really sick. And then his dad's brother, his uncle, he got the first shot, got deathly ill, and he said, hell no, I'm not getting that second shot. And he didn't get it. So I don't know what's going on, but I got people that I can observe. And then the guy that I work for, he got the shot. He's 73 years old, got the second shot. And I'm worried about riding around with this guy because he could be shedding the virus. I don't know what they're shedding. I don't know. Could it shed? I don't know. But I've heard rumors that it could. And I'm just, come on, man. This could be the apocalypse. That whole vaccine could be to get
personality changes. Different kind of illnesses like cancer, things that can develop that aren't necessarily contagious, but can develop.
Well,
there are people dying from the vaccine.
So this guy is like 73 years old. He's a Mexican gentleman, speaks very little English, but he got the first shot. The first thing I noticed about him was he got these big pus balls on his eyes. I call them styes. But it just grew across his left eye, all on the top eyelash. You know how you blink and stuff? It was all there. It was big pus balls. And that was right after he got the first shot. So he lived through that, and he's doing fine, and he ended up getting the second shot. And he seems to be doing fine right now. But who knows when this stuff's going to kick off. We don't know if this is a volcano ready to burst or if it's just maybe they shot him with saline. I don't know what they did. I don't know anything about this vaccine. I just know that I don't want it. And I think most people should be the same way. It's experimental. But we got to remember, though, they didn't just come out with this vaccine 5 months, okay? Operation Warp Speed was not Operation Warp Speed. They had this vaccine years ago. This was all a pandemic. They planned this. The vaccine was already, they already tried it out. I bet you they had people, there's probably people that tried it out on. And they got the results they wanted. And that's why they went through this 201, event 201, and then put this whole thing together and all this stuff. Why? Because it's all about eugenics. They want you gone. They want us gone. We're useless eaters. Right. Nobody lives on this planet and lives here for free, although we should all be living here for free. But since we got some monetary fund and all these people have all this cash and stuff, they seem to think they own us. They bought this planet. I said this last time I was on your program. They bought this planet from God, apparently. And now they own it. And now they get to decide who gets to live and die. They think we're overpopulated. All you have to do is fly on a plane anywhere in the world and look out the window while you're flying. Miles of miles of miles of uninhabited land. So I say to you, are we overpopulated? No. But that is the background for why they're doing this. They want to kill us because we're using their resources.
They definitely want to reduce the population before it does get too big. That is really the name of the game for them.
Well, I'm starting to think that, you know, after seeing how these people play this little fake pandemic thing, I'm starting to think maybe we should get rid of some people, because there's some dumb people. I was going to say a bad word, but my friend asked me not to. There's some dumb people out there that are just, nobody's thinking for themselves. And I think the people who don't think for themselves, well, you know, you kind of get what you deserve, man. I mean, it took me a while to figure it out. Thank God I did. I guess thank God I did. I don't know if it's going to help me, but I figured out what they're up to. And I think many people are just too stupid in this world to figure it out. That's why you have, it's funny, no disrespect to black people or whatever, but you got a lot of white people out there in the BLM movement defending black folks and condemning white people in front of the white person's kissing a black person's foot in Seattle. And the white dude is standing there saying, you got white privilege. You got white privilege. Well, you a white dude. You got the same damn privilege, you white dumbass. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, we've got to a point where people don't even understand what they're protesting. They don't understand what they're standing up for. I know what I'm standing up for. I want freedom and liberty for all, not just for me. I'm not trying to get it for me. I want it for all. And I ain't got nothing to lose. So give me five people, six. I'm sorry. I need that seven number. Give me six people with scopes, 30-06, and plenty of ammo, a little bit of cash. We'll go take care of some business. Some of these people just die. And nobody wants to do that. Oh, wait, everybody's talking about let's not do anything to disrupt. Let's not do anything to disrupt the how society is. You know what? If 1776 didn't take place, society wouldn't have been disrupted, and King George would still rule over us. And in some respects, at this particular point, King George does rule over us, because it's the same draconian laws they're putting down on us now that King George did. The next thing we're going to say is these police can come knock your door down and then hang out there for the night, just like the damn British did. You know, we have the right to break in here and stay here for the night. You got to feed us too, by the way. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, come on. How long are Americans going to be the slaves that we're appearing to be? And you got people in England, Australia, all over European nations, New Zealand, and why not? They're all looking up to us. Why? Because we got guns. We got guns. And they're still looking at us. And they're going to continue to look at us. And they're going to look at us in awe. Because nobody done nothing. Not a single person has done nothing. But guess what? As soon as Biden got in, we was all talking about when COVID came out. Notice how all those mass shootings went away. Yeah, as soon as Biden came in and he kind of lifted the COVID restrictions, boom, here comes these shootings again. Uh-huh. Why? Because it meets his agenda. He wants to get rid of them guns. If we give up our guns, if we give up these guns, not only America is over with. Look, the Japanese said in World War II, reason why we didn't invade mainland America is because behind every blade of grass there'd be a gun. That's the reason they said that. That was General something or other, Montoya or something.
The Russians also.
That's the reason.
They did that as well.
Exactly. Yes. But look, if America doesn't do something now, it doesn't have to be this minute as we're talking, but in this time frame, within the next few months, to be honest with you, if they don't do something if we don't do something within the next few months, we might as well just go on and surrender our guns, because they already got a bill in there, H.R. 1-1 or something like that. Something about registering all guns, which means they'll have knowledge of every address that owns a gun, which means that they can obviously go around from every door and collect your guns. And you know what? They're not going to advertise that on TV. They're going to do that silently. They're just going to go around periodically and collect guns. And we won't even know they're doing it. Why? Because it's not advertised. People are going to lose their guns. It won't get on TV. You might get some videos here and there on YouTube for people who, you know, filmed it, but they're just going to come around discreetly and take our guns. If we don't stand up now, we done lost our chance. I mean, seriously, if we don't stand up now, we done lost our chance. That's, I mean, we really have. We've lost our chance. And it has to happen now. And I'll gladly give my life for it. Anybody who wants to volunteer, you get any emails? Say that again.
Well, I keep wanting to advertise you, let you get your word out, because, I mean, there's so many selfish people in the world. How many people are in prison for murder? Okay? But murdering somebody, historically insignificant. Throw away their lives. But they could take political action to help out society instead of being a burden to it.
Yeah, but I think murder needs to happen now. And I'm not talking about murdering your neighbor. I'm talking about them assholes that sit up there and pretend they're our leaders. And I don't care where they're at, in some state capital, the U.S. capital, wherever they at. They pretend to be our leaders, and they're calling for us to be locked down, destroying businesses, destroying our livelihood. These people need to go. Okay, there's no question about it. They got paid off. And so, notice, we caught a bunch of these people vacationing in Puerto Rico, vacationing in, or going to their hair salon without a mask on while they're telling their recipients to wear a mask. We caught all these people. So we know it's all BS. I mean, just the simple fact that we caught them, because if there was a real pandemic, they wouldn't take the mask off to save their life. But, or they would be in a hazmat suit because we know the masks don't work. So, I mean, come on. Come on. This is a big scam, people. Wake up. Let's get on. Let's go get our freedom back.
I hear you. Hey, you got an email you can be reached at? For the public can reach you?
Well, you're going to like this one. ChewyCandy666@gmail.com. That's ChewyCandy666@gmail.com. I don't get much visitors there. Maybe after this I will.
Well,
hey, I also got a YouTube channel. It's called You Don't Own Me. I got 13 subscribers. Yeah.
What's
I got like 4 videos up there to talk crap about what's going on. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to edit the hell out of this episode. That's okay. But
we're out of here, huh?
All
right,
guys.
Thanks, V.
I love talking to you, Andy. Hey, for everybody else, this has been another episode of the Redfield Hardcore Radio Show. Me, your host, V. And just remember, the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king, so please educate yourselves.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.